shit. Fear, or constant companion. For those of us from dysfunctional families, fear wasn't just something we felt in scary moments. It was the air we breathed. As adults, fear is still there, woven into our patterns and behaviors, often without us even realizing it. How fear shows up. Most of the time, we're not walking around saying, I'm afraid. We're just doing things, feeling things, reacting to things. But underneath so many of our patterns and behaviors, fear is running the show. Behavioral. Procrastination, creating chaos, picking fights, doom scrolling, rage outbursts, people pleasing, overworking, self-sabotage. Physical, somatic, chronic tension, exhaustion, migraines, digestive issues, panic attacks, numbness, always being sick, relational, pushing people away, clinging, testing people's loyalty, withholding, sharing too soon, isolating, constant reassurance seeking, cognitive, catastrophizing, obsessive thoughts, hypervigilance, dissociation, analysis, paralysis, never being able to decide. Then versus now, when fear gets its wires crossed. For trauma survivors, not all fears are created equal, and learning to tell the difference can be one of the hardest parts of healing. Fears that match the present, reality-based fears. These are fears that make sense given our current circumstances, things that would reasonably concern most people. They're grounded in what's actually happening now and not what happened before. Examples: fear of losing your job when your company is doing layoffs, fear of a health issue when symptoms are real, fear of financial instability when money is genuinely tight, fear of a relationship ending when there are actual signs of trouble. Fears that belong to the past, trauma-distorted fears. These are fears that feel real and urgent, but are rooted in old wounds, not current reality. They're your nervous system reacting to the past as if it's happening now, often feeling life or death, even when the present situation isn't actually dangerous. Examples: fear that if you're happy, something bad will happen. Fear that if you let your guard down, you'll be destroyed. Fear that any conflict means abandonment. Fear that being vulnerable will be used against you. Fear that success will lead to punishment. Fear that people only tolerate you and you don't actually want to be around you. Our relationship with fear. Not all fears feel the same to work with. Some we can name and face in therapy. Others feel so big and raw that we avoid them entirely, even when we're actively healing. Surface fears. These are fears we can talk about relatively easily. They feel manageable, nameable, and like something we can work on. Examples: public speaking, flying, driving on highways, being judged by strangers, making phone calls. Intermediate fears. These are harder and more vulnerable, but with support and safety, we can start to touch them and explore where they come from. Examples: abandonment, rejection, failure, being truly seen, intimacy, success, disappointing people, conflict. Core existential fears. These are the fears that feel almost unbearable to sit with, so deep and threatening that we often avoid them even in our own minds. Examples: aging, dying, being fundamentally unlovable, wasting your life, never healing, becoming like your parents, being alone forever, that something is irreparably wrong with you. Food for thought. How is fear showing up in your life today? Are you able to recognize it as fear? Are the fears most present in your life right now reality-based or trauma-distorted? Can you tell the difference? What's a fear that feels so big and uncomfortable that you don't even want to name it or think about it? Can you name a fear that you've overgrown or at least turned the volume down on through healing? Oh, I meant to share this before too. I had a little bit of a relapse yesterday. So I shared this in book club, but I just like want to share it here too. So since I've like deleted the game off my phone, in the morning when I drink my coffee, LA Times has like a crossword puzzle. So I do the crossword puzzle and I play one game of Sudoku. And so I've been doing that in the morning. And yesterday, you guys, I went on a fucking Sudoku bender. I went on a Sudoku bender. Seriously. I thought that this was safe. It's clearly not. And it's just like, wow, this is so nuts how I can use Sudoku as a drug. So it's really quite mind-blowing. And then last night we were reading in book club And one particular line just struck me so hard. And this is a fear that I don't even want to talk about. One of these like core existential fears, the fear of aging. And over the past year, like I've seen more visible signs on my face of aging in a way that's so deeply uncomfortable. You know, I was talking with ChatGPT earlier, just trying to like break this apart. Like, what is underneath that? Is it grief? Is it other fears? And I think it's this little girl feeling this profound sense of loneliness and this fear of just like, I'm going to be alone forever. And this little girl feeling conditional worth and just like not seen and not feeling chosen. And like, what do I have to offer when certain things are gone? And that presence is earned by bringing something to the table instead of who I inherently am. It's just really deeply uncomfortable for me to face. So I just wanted to name that for myself. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, guys. Okay. Fear. You hit it. The fear of growing old. But, okay. So, youngest of eight. And whenever I have a birthday, my family will say, oh, the baby is however old she is. I'm not a fucking baby, number one. Or when I get introduced, one of my siblings always goes, oh, this is my baby sister. I'm not a fucking baby, guys. I'm a grown-ass woman, and I tell my parts that all the time. You are a grown woman. I used to go through the fear of, like, will I ever love someone enough to have a child with them? Well, we all know I had a child. I waited to have my son until I was 36, and I'm so glad I waited, because if I was like 26 when I had him, I would have been way, oh my God. Yeah, he would not be where he is now, nor would I. But I feel like we look at things all day. And one of the things I do, probably called doom scrolling, is look for like face care and all this shit. And you know what? None of it works. Do I want to have Ozempic face? Do I want to spend money and get Botox and then have to go back and get that again and get that again? And I feel like, and I work with so many young people. So that like is another fear that gets built in there. Like, am I good enough? Why did they pick me? I'm older than the owners of the place. And then people will say to me, like my friends or family will be like, hey, they don't even know how old you are. Nobody knows how old you are. Because, you know, you look young. And I look at myself and go, I don't look young. I get my hair dyed. I might dress young sometimes. But, you know, I sometimes feel like the fear is given to us from media and from, like, superstars and people that we idolize. Like, look at how young they look. And then, being the youngest of eight, how many funerals am I going to have to fucking go through that are family members? I've already seen four of them in my immediate family. One very premature, one who was my age when he died. But that was self-inflicted. So what I do, I have a part that's like exercise, eat healthy, do all the right things so you don't grow old. But then every time I look in that fucking mirror, there's me staring back at me. But I'm not going to spend my money on Botox. I'm going to spend my money on getting out of debt so that I can, well, we know I've already kind of been forced into retirement. But I'm going to spend my money on getting back, like getting my house in order. So perhaps maybe we can get a camp or get a second home or, and then sell this place and it'll be 100%, because I'm always going to be me. My husband's always going to be my husband, hopefully. And there's always that fear. Is he going to leave me for somebody younger? You know what? And then I think about these things and my brain goes, no, that's not going to happen to you. And then there's the fear that I spoke to in last group about my son and about where he is. And I speak to that fear on a daily basis, probably about 17 million times a day and within every breath. And I go, you know what? You cannot fear what you do not know. And I don't know what he's going through. I do know that he is fine. And I've been told not to worry about him. But as a mom, you always have fear for your kids and you always will worry about them. So that's another fear. So there's just a million fears and the fear of I'm not enough. I'm never going to have enough money. I'm never going to be what everybody wants me to be. Well, shit, I just got to be what I need to be. So thank you guys for listening.
Fear is a hell of a word, isn't it? Fear sticks to me like shame sticks to me, right? It's a four-letter word, real fuck fire, whatever. Shit show, right? Four-letter words here, you know? But fear for me started as when I was abused as a child, right? That trauma and that fear is when you would say someone's name, that would spark a fear in me. Hell, if you would have said my nickname, that constantly, that would actually cause a fear reaction into me. Fear has always plagued me. Fear has always kept me safe. All my life, fight or flight, fawn or freeze, right? I'm a scuba diver, and one time in 2007, I almost lost my life on Father's Day weekend because my first stage regulator on my tank froze open out over 130 feet down below the surface in dark, completely dark waters, and almost lost my life. And that's fear. Fear kicked in, right? Fear kicked in, and I knew that my training saved me about I know that there was other people down here at the bottom of this quarry that we were at. When you look up, you don't see the sun. It's completely dark, right? And if you turn off all the lights, you have no lights. And that's fear. Fear of being a firefighter, right? So whenever I was saving lives, being a firefighter, running into a burning house, and you know that there's an active rescue of a child up on the second floor, and they couldn't get out. My body, my training always kicked in. That training and train and train and train and train. And just like Nancy, your son is in the military, right? Train and train of how you're going to do this, of whenever that situation comes up. So you're not going to be afraid. But why is it that the most simplest words can make this 6'3" big guy go fucking crumbling down and scared of his own shadow sometimes? And that's the parts work. That's the little boy, Andrew, that shows up. And I've never been afraid of getting old. I was a fear that I would never make it to the age of 46. I never thought I would get here at all, by no means. And I'm late today because I have a whole situation of work because I basically told a school superintendent what they were doing was illegal and illegal bidding practices. And a lot of people didn't like whenever I come out and said the truth. And it's one of those things, a fear of getting in trouble. Who's going to get me in trouble? Where's that cop going to come? They're going to pull me over. Well, I'm like, well, little white lie, never hurt nobody to tell a cop that you're not doing 84 mile an hour in a 65. But anyway, that never hurt nobody. Another fear I have is being accepted, right? So being accepted amongst our peers or amongst people, being accepted into today's society. That's a fear of mine, right? Bothers me is the daily fear. Since I'm able to try to control and not weigh out like I did on Sunday because I got a fucking email. Anyway, great topic, dude. Thank you so much. Fear. Just like that word shape. Thanks for letting me share.
So just like healing, learning isn't one size fits all. And if school wasn't exactly your happy place growing up and it's not your kids either, then you'll love knowing there's now a better way with Time for Learning. So Time for Learning is an online homeschooling platform that offers curriculum from pre-K all the way to 12th grade that gives families the flexibility to shape learning around real life. So let's say your family wants to do some traveling or your kid wants to participate in a hobby that doesn't fit into traditional school hours. This is schooling that you can do anywhere at any time. Or perhaps your kid only likes doing math on Mondays. You can set it up to where they only do one subject each day, or you can mix in different subjects each day. Plus, parents get tons of tools like activity planners and transcript templates that help keep everything organized. And they've been trusted by over 1 million students for over 20 years, y'all. So curious if Time for Learning is right for your family? Well, visit timeforlearning.com. That's time, the number four, learning.com to explore their curriculum and find the perfect plan for your student. And you can get started with a monthly subscription to see just how much your kids enjoy learning on their own terms.
It's a huge topic for me. I'm listening to y'all share. I was taking more notes and because I just kept remembering like more things about how fear has played a role in my life. I was a really scared child. I was like scared of everything. I was scared of thunderstorms. I was scared of my dad driving the boat too fast. I was scared of being sick all the time because I was sick all the time. And I feel like a lot of it started in childhood. You know, that I developed pretty severe asthma. We had to go to my pediatrician's office in the middle of the night at least twice that I remember for emergency breathing treatments. And that was terrifying. Not being able to breathe is terrifying. And my parents were mostly not able to ever provide any kind of comfort or reassurance or anything. And a lot of times I got flat out made fun of for being scared, you know, of things like thunderstorms or whatever. My whole family would mock me, call me too sensitive, laugh at me, exaggerate whatever was going on. They just all thought it was really funny. So fear is kind of like built in my DNA. And this topic made me remember like a couple of years ago when I was reading Pete Walker's Complex PTSD book, I took some notes on, he talked about what we, people with CPTSD, what we hyper-focus on, regarding endangerment. These topics is what he lists out: permanent abandonment, public humiliation, lethal illness, lonely death, imminent attack, and penniless homelessness. And that about sums up like every single one of my severe fears. I read that and I was like, holy shit. Like, I thought those were all things just really like wrong with me, and read that like it's in a book and somebody else knows about it and that it's common in other people blew my mind. For me, I feel like a lot of it comes back to that word endangerment, the idea that I am not safe. And as an adult in particular, it's been like knowing that I have no safety net, you know. So in talking about reality-based first versus more trauma-based fears, well, like for a lot of them, for me, a lot of them are very rooted in reality that, you know, like, hey, if I get too sick to work, who's going to be there to help me pay my bills? I don't have a partner. I don't have a family. We're about to enter tornado season here in Oklahoma, which gets me really amped up with anxiety every year. And like, if a mega tornado comes and like smashes my house, where am I going to go? You know, just that fear of knowing that I don't have any kind of safety net. And for me, as an adult, my relationship to fear has changed. I feel like I've become more fearful in the last 3 years or so. And for me, I can really tie it back. I had a traumatic experience hiking about 2.5 years ago. I'm an experienced solo hiker. I've hiked in many national parks by myself. And 2.5 years ago, I was hiking at a local state park here in Oklahoma, and it was too hot. I shouldn't have been out that day. And I made a bunch of bad decisions. Like, I didn't bring enough water. I left my hat in the car, and I quickly overheated. And like, I was fine 1 minute, and 20 minutes later, I was pretty sure I was going to die from heat stroke. I was experiencing some symptoms of heat exhaustion, and it was on a part of the, it was on a trail I'd hiked by myself 4 or 5 times before. And on that section of the trail, there is no cell service. So I tried to call 911 twice and didn't go through. And I really thought I was gonna like die right there. And things were only okay because I knew I had to get up. I was like, if I don't get up and start moving, I am going to die right here. And thank God I ran into another group hiking about 10 minutes after I got up and got moving. And I told them what was going on. They had extra water and they helped me back to my car and everything was fine. But that experience, I have not hiked solo in a national park by myself since then. I have not hiked at all since then, actually. And that experience, it made me feel like all the times I was doing that by myself in the past, I think I had like a trauma reaction where I was not having enough appropriate fear in some sort of in dangerous situations. Because looking back, I was in some extremely remote places and I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I did not have the appropriate gear. I did not have any kind of emergency GPS communication device, which I have now. I did not know what I was doing, and I had no fear about it at all. And looking back, I'm like, well, that was not healthy. Like, I did not have a healthy regard for my own safety. And that kind of, you know, near-death experience 2.5 years ago might have swung the pendulum back too far the other way. I'm going on a trip to Hawaii in about 2 months. And I don't know if I'm going to hike or not yet. I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. But the current issue I'm dealing, the other current issue I'm dealing with fear, which is an ongoing thing for me, is the fear of health diagnoses, which is also very much related to knowing that I don't have a safety net. And if I get an awful diagnosis, who am I going to call for support? I don't have a relationship with my family. Who's going to be there? And in particular, blindness runs in my family. We have an inherited genetic disease that causes progressive vision loss. It's been in my family for 200 plus years. So there's always been blind people in my family that I've known. My mom is now legally blind. My sister will be legally blind. My nephew will be legally blind. So I haven't had my eyes checked in a decade because the last time I went, they were like, we see something that might be the disease. We need to do some like mapping of your retina. And I said, no, thanks. I'm good. See you later. Because I don't have any symptoms. And like, if I was going to have this disease, I would most likely have symptoms by this age, like for sure. And I really don't. But my vision is forcing my hand because of aging. I need bifocals so badly. Like, I have my laptop pushed way back so that I can see the text on the screen. Like, I can't see anything. Like, I'm constantly doing this up close just to read. And so I need to go get my prescription updated and get some new glasses so that I can see, because it's just getting really annoying. But I was really proud of myself like last week because I asked a friend if she would be willing to go with me to the appointment, because I have never gone to an eye appointment by myself. It has always been a fraught thing in my family. I've always either had like my mom there with me or a boyfriend. And I know I for sure can't do this alone. So I asked if she would go with me, and she was really enthusiastic about it and said, of course. And so now I've got no excuse. I just need to make the appointment. I've got an office picked out. So I at least did that. And I'm hoping to have the appointment made by the end of the week and trying to face that fear of getting bad news and just knowing that, like, I need to take care of myself. So thanks for letting me share, guys.
I have some very deep, trauma-related fears that are not tied to anything rational or something that might happen in normal people's world. My biggest thing that has like a huge body reaction to it is having to stand up for myself in any way, shape, or form, whether that's like asking for a well-deserved raise or leaving a job and starting something new, it just thinking about those things will make my hands shake. I will start feeling like I'm going to have a panic attack approaching those types of things. And my brain knows that I'm not going to get in trouble, but my body is remembering something from a long time ago that I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to make me feel total and complete shame for choosing myself and tell me how wrong and selfish I am. None of my, whatever exile is kind of tied to this, does not want to reveal anything deeper. The only thing I can remember is one moment with my mom, who is a single parent and an addict. And, you know, we had at different points in our lives lived with our grandparents when things weren't going well with her. And I remember when I was 12, I told her that I wanted to go live with my grandparents. And she just laid into me about how selfish I was and all this stuff. And I stayed and left a message on my grandparents' answering machine and told them I wasn't coming. But it's like my body remembers that if I stand up for myself, I will be made to feel so ashamed. I'm wrong. I don't need whatever it is I think I need. I'm going to get in trouble for this, and I will be shown how wrong I am if I stand up for myself. It is so incredibly hard. And what I have to do now is I end up like going to my therapist or other close people I know to bolster me and tell me, no, you're right. This is something you deserve. You can do this thing. And I endure the hand shaking, my voice shaking, and it hasn't gotten better. I mean, before I started doing that, I thought maybe I'd get to a point where I wouldn't have fear and I could do those things. And my experience has been doing it while it feels like I'm going to die. And getting through it, and the world did not collapse, and no one made me feel like a piece of shit, like I was wrong. And doing prep work beforehand sometimes with protector parts, like we aren't stuck. If somebody has a bad reaction, fuck them, we're walking away. Like we're not dependent on those people. But that not knowing like if I'm right or not, that was another thing growing up, especially with a parent that's an addict. Things that you think are normal to talk about at home, and you go say something and you're told, you should never have said that. You're going to get me in trouble. People can't know these things. And so what you think is okay isn't actually okay in your childhood. And so this like fear about my judgment and whether or not I'm making the right decisions is so hard. And really learning how to lean into trusting just my own intuition or my own needs or asking for hard things. I remember one time I was gonna ask my husband if he could help me with something around the house, and I was so terrified that he was gonna tear into me. And I know that he's not that type of person, like he's not gonna do that to me, but I was so scared to ask if he could do this thing to help me with. And he didn't, you know, flip out. But if I have to ask him again, I'm going to be scared again. I'm going to be terrified again and have to do all this work. And I'm glad that I can, but I do also have those moments of like, is this ever going to be fucking easier? Am I ever going to be able to do this without having like a whole month of prep work to ask my husband to help me unload the dishwasher? Though that's all I got. Thank you.
I was just ChatGPT too about, getting older, I guess. But my special flavor is, I guess they called it identity terror.
like, I don't know if that's like a thing, but so my husband went out of town a couple of weekends ago, and I lost my ever-loving shit, as I always do. And I'm like, we're talking like leaving burners on the stoves, leaving my clothes everywhere, like food containers everywhere. And it's, I don't, and so I was trying to like unpack what, but it's, it has to do with always having that external cue, like never knowing who I am and never knowing what my own drives are. And my full identity in my whole entire life has been based off of what is going on around me. And so when I'm alone, I just kind of lose it. Like, I just don't like know how to function. So ChatGPT also called it containment. It's like, I just don't have a container for my life unless somebody else is there to like either give me that containment or I can react to their shitty behaviors. Because the other part of it too is when I was growing up, it was a lot of violence, but never on towards me. But it kind of was like, oh, there are rules. And if you don't follow the rules, like some really bad shit's going to happen to you. But then like nobody ever really tells you what the rules are. And my younger sister, who was a perfectionist, got a lot of pressure because she was the perfectionist. And I literally don't have it in my personality to be a perfectionist. So it was more really just about hiding. And it just like walking that C average line and never having attention be drawn to you and never, you know, trying to achieve for yourself. And it was almost kind of like any attention was going to inevitably be bad attention. And so, oh, and the ChatGPT also called it like a void. But it is. There's just like this void of when I am by myself. And so I'm not like existentially upset about getting older or all this kind of stuff. Like my kind of thing is when everybody dies and I'm by myself. And it's like this feeling of like, I don't want to have wasted my life. And I don't want to have wasted my one precious opportunity to be here. But that is my fear. Like, I think my fear and dying and never really knowing myself, or I don't know if it's like regret or like, I think I'm still also grieving the sadness of all of the things that could have been in my childhood in my life, because it's like I'm doing this discovery thing of myself now in my 50s. And there is just a part of me that was like, well, this would have been fucking nice to do in my 20s, you know, like this would have been a nice thing to do to kind of like give myself a path and not just be trying to stay out of trouble, you know, like I've just been trying to stay out of trouble my whole entire life, like paralyzing fear of getting caught, but I'm not ever really doing anything, but it's just like my family dynamics set it up to where like if you get fucking caught, like bad shit is going to happen, but we are not going to tell you how you get in trouble. So fear has been my constant companion, like basically my whole entire life. And then just on a side note too, like because I was not the one that was abused, I have gone through a phase of survivor's guilt. So I think solo fucking camping in Russia is a great idea. Like I actually did that, you know, or just dumb or just stuff that I'm like, what the fuck? But I was really trying to have somebody hurt me. Like I was actively seeking people in the world and things to happen so I could be hurt and then I could somehow be part of my family because everybody was getting hurt except for me. And so the fear thing is just really existential. And it's just like, I don't want to like die and then meet myself. I would like to meet myself while I'm still alive. So anyway, that's my fear.
Don't let it all go.